Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to the second hour here on Circles of Change. Thanks so much for joining us, and hope you enjoyed the first two pieces. And now we're going to shift in the mode. I've got two fabulous guests, first of which is right here in the studio with me today. So welcome to the studio, Jane Dominguez, here in Tucson.
Oh, good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Likewise. Well, great. Well, Jane has created a very successful business around a simple philosophy: write well, write results. Now catch this. It's W-R-I-T-E, the metaphor write, and then, of course, the correct results are the right results. She's a leading authority on writing business documents and emails that are quick, complete, and professional. And in fact, she even goes by that title, the email doctor. So during more than 20 years as a corporate financial executive working with publicly traded companies, Jane realized how communicating complex material clearly, simply, and concisely brought success. The ability to deliver intricate financial information in particular to varied and global audiences was essential. Today, the Write Business Advantage, again, that's R-I-T-E, provides on-site workshops and webinars packed with simple tools and tips to improve the writing skills of everyone, from that recent college graduate to the executive in the corner office. Over 10,000 people today follow Jane's fat-free business writing tips and other better business writing information on Twitter. She's a frequent speaker and panelist for local and national events, and her articles are regularly featured in national publications and are actually required reading for classes at some major universities and distributed by companies to their employees. A native of the Midwest and former resident of Phoenix and the Pacific Northwest, Jane graduated with a BS in accounting from Arizona State University and is a licensed CPA. She and her husband Dennis reside here in Tucson. So, my goodness, from going from being a CPA to an expert on writing, tell me about that circle, as we'd say on this show.
We don't realize that as a corporate CPA working with companies that are publicly traded, there is more emphasis on what is written than on those financial numbers, explaining them, explaining the risk, explaining the results. And you don't, nobody tells you when you're studying accounting that you'll do more writing than you will number crunching.
Well, that's enlightening, but you know, you're absolutely right. If anyone looks at the financial documentation that comes out with the annual report, it's often, first off, three times bigger than the annual report itself. But then likewise, just navigating those waters of communicating to clients, investors to boil it down.
Wall Street, your analyst.
Well, did you think your academic training as a CPA prepared you for that, Jane?
Actual writing side. Fortunately, that was a skill set that I brought on my own. It was something I enjoyed growing up. My mother thought diagramming sentences was a fun summer activity.
Must have gone to Catholic school. So that's she didn't. That's how I learned grammar. I tell you, it's an unstoppable way to understand it.
And it's the writing skills that helped me get through college, putting myself through as a single parent. Mm-hmm. The writing skills helped me earn money, get tuition, get some awards, scholarship awards. So writing has always served me really well.
Isn't that interesting? And of course, you've been here in the studio and listened to our very first segment with Marlis Hansen. We talked about how some of those fundamental skills and those passions that come at us even in our youth, that later on, if you're wise or if you slow down and see it, they'll pop right back up at you.
And you never know how or when they'll show back up.
Isn't that true? And then also not to run from them, but to embrace them. Well, Jane, why is it so important that we talk about this whole subject about efficiency in emails?
Because we have spending so much of our time now.
Isn't that the truth?
On email. Mm-hmm. 74% of our communication, ongoing business communication with team members, associates, outside clients and customers, is now done by email.
75%.
Yeah, according to Harvard Business Study.
Yeah.
And that has eaten up our day. Mm-hmm. And the better we learn to do it, we'll get better results the very first time rather than needing two or three follow-up emails. You know, we make our life easier and we make our readers' life easier. And that leaves us more time to work on some of those other priorities other than answering email.
In particular, perhaps then actually interfacing with people
yes.
and working through the issues instead of firing back missives about them.
Well, I always do remind people our telephones still work, and there's many times that we don't want to email. We don't want to use email whenever it could go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I know that out on your site, in fact, for people interested, it's www.writebusinessadvantage, and again, WRITE.com, that you quote the statistics that right now 40% of our total work in the knowledge office area is email related. So that's, and a third of that is probably wasted.
It is. Because...
But you know, there's this great feature called Control-Alt-Delete. I am really fast at that. At any rate, you know.
But we have to be.
Absolutely.
We have to be able to cipher through large volumes of emails very quickly. We have to be able to send back a response, decide on priorities. And if we have to spend a lot of time clarifying emails, even if you just had to clarify six a day, mm-hmm. and that took you 10 minutes to reread, maybe look something up, you've lost an hour a day. And if you add that up, that's 2.5 hours, 2.5 days a month.
Right. And you're even comment there, the statistic you put, that if a company has 50 employees, that's $300,000.
It's a very hidden expense. And as a CPA, it doesn't show up anywhere on our P&L.
Right.
But it's very expensive. And companies just in the last 3 or 4 years have begun to recognize and to address that issue.
Well, so now where you want to take us in this whole conversation of helping people improve their skills beyond the obvious, right? I mean, this is more than demonstrating courtesy.
It is.
Right. This is more than, which of course some people even forget that element, but you know, you're really bringing forward a lot more important elements too.
Well, I want people to remember, it's just like when we meet somebody in person, within 3 to 5 seconds, they form an impression about us. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing when they open our email. They instantly decide if we're a professional. They decide if they want to work with us, if we're somebody that they could feel trustworthy. So some of those emails that we see that come across that were very hastily written, fragment sentences, no format, what that's really telling that reader is, you may not want to work with me.
I'm sloppy.
Yeah.
I'm pressed for time.
Or you're not important enough for me to take a moment to structure that email in a way that is easy for you to read, easy for you to get that information. We do so much email, and with social media, we're just used to firing off these missiles as quick as possible. And we forget that every one of them, particularly for a small business, as well as a large corporation, a solo entrepreneur, is PR. It's either a really good advertisement about us or it's a poor advertisement.
You know, one thing that always jumps to mind when you talk about email etiquette, I'll call it, two things that really get to me is people using the reply all feature.
Oh, yes.
It takes me right off the planet, you know? And then also when people do all caps, it's like they're yelling at you.
And that's what it is considered. And I call them bee stings because I do a lot of first aid, business email etiquette. They're bee stings. And that's how we perceive them.
Yeah.
And every time I think, particularly those two items, using all caps, I think I can take this out of a workshop thinking it's common sense. Everybody knows to use standard fonts and to not use all caps and never to hit reply to all. As soon as I ask people what their biggest frustration are with email, those two things are always top of the
list.
How
about that? And we did not contrive that before to our listeners.
No, we did
not. This was just me. But you know, there also is something important though, to be sensitive. There have been several people that have come back and said, and they put that at the tag at the end, is sorry to be doing this in all caps, but I've broken my wrist, or, you know, I can't be as more versatile right now, so just bear with me. Or also people that send you, and the font's been really enlarged, and they're saying, I'm not trying to yell at you, but, you know, I'm farsighted, and it's really difficult for me to work on this screen. So, you know, but making sure you put those provisos.
Absolutely.
There's certainly those kinds of
things.
Yeah,
and then people do understand. But in the normal course of business, people are very offended by all caps or, you know, the fancy font. Somebody's trying to make it stand out. You can do that on occasion to highlight a point. But when it becomes throughout your document, it loses its power and people become irritated with it.
Just like the overuse of color, right?
Yes.
The same.
And everybody's monitor is different. And so that color may not translate well. Then now we have the additional issue that more and more people are going to be reading your message on mobile devices. That color can actually obscure them being able to read it.
Mm-hmm. And so the smallness of the screen then, and I'm sure one of the things you talk about, is this idea of being crisp and clear and succinct.
Yes.
So it's the length of the emails too.
You know, after the first two sentences, people start reading less and less. They scan faster. If you don't get their attention the first two sentences, you're not probably going to get their attention, and they're not going to pay attention, no matter how important your information is.
So the idea is you really need to tee it up at the beginning, because if indeed you do have an email that needs to be more thorough or instructive, that you've got to provide some bolding or underlining or something to help them jump
through.
Give
them a summary at the very beginning of what you're going to provide. So you've given them, I'm going to provide information that you need. One of the things I always tell my workshop attendees is write for the reader, not for you. We've got to write from their perspective and tell them what it is that they're wanting to know and what they need to make their job easier or to complete their task.
So one of the things I suspect you recommend to people is, if indeed you've ended up with a long email, is perhaps hit save and then come back to it. Give yourself a 10-minute break or maybe an overnight break and come back and say, do I really need all that stuff?
It's a really good way to do it is, as you're proofing, not only proofread for edits for grammar errors, but look at the content. What does that reader really want? You know, we've got to remember that other than 104.1 FM, everybody's favorite station is WIIFM. What's in it for me?
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to make sure that we right up front address their needs, as opposed to sometimes writers want to tell you detailed backgrounds that aren't going to help you get the task done or not going to help progress the project.
Although that could be a healthy attachment. And in the event you would
attachment
like addition, then
word.
Here's attachment. You can come back to it later.
Attachment is a key word. Keep that original message short. Harvard just did another study. 80% of people will not scroll down, whether it's an email or a website.
That's right.
So if it's a larger piece, is absolutely good advice. Always do it as an attachment.
So then they can get to it. But also, though, when you put things as an attachment, you have to realize now it's going to get separated from your original email.
Yes.
So make sure you keep that content, that context string to it.
You need to do that and tell them what program that attachment was created in, because everybody, there's always nuances in everybody's computer systems. They may have difficulty opening it if they know the program that it's written in or saved in. It can make their time easier.
Jane, how long have you been doing this type of work then?
About 3 years.
3 years.
Focusing on this.
Okay,
yes.
Wonderful. And so that was really a decision to say, okay, the CPA in me is going this way and I'm going that way?
It actually was a little slower progression than that. As I worked for global consulting firms, I'd go in to do financial work. They would notice I could write.
Oh, my. Novel. It's true. It can be novel. Of course.
And I just always, to be honest, assumed everybody could write.
Yeah.
And so they would started asking me to do some classes before I left and finished the financial engagement.
And so there you have it, that based on somebody pointing a possibility out to you, that bingo, there it was.
And I've always, to find something that you really love to do.
And that it comes to you easily and you get paid for it.
That was the amazing thing.
Yeah.
When the first time a company hired me to do nothing, no financial work, but just to come in and teach a 3-day workshop on business writing, I was just floored. And that set me off. That was like riding a rocket.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Well, so even in these 3 years, of course, during this time, we've had the advent of texting, social media, even more so than it was before the three years. So how is that even a competing factor in this? I mean, if you look at people's cell phone bills now, the number of minutes for actual calls is plummeting in all the texting, which is now, 160 characters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a lot of the text messages. You know what technology has done? It's made everybody a writer. And it really shows quickly if you can do it well or you can't. You know, in personal, chatting with your friends, using the shortcuts and all the abbreviations is fine. But in business, it's when we transfer those into our business writing that we stumble. You know, if our reader doesn't understand, they're not going to work at it.
So I'm suspecting then what you'd say is that to answer this question, what do you think has changed the most in the last 5 to 10 years? It would probably be right up there with reader's attention span has to equate to, and just even the day-to-day pressures on our lives and amount of information coming to us. if you're not crisp and succinct, you really are not going to get your message across.
That's exactly right, yeah. Because business depends more on writing now because of social media, blogs, and other things, but people are less willing to read. That's the big secret that everybody needs to know about business readers. They don't read. They scan.
They scan, yeah.
They skim it. And if you don't get them in the very beginning, they're scanned so fast they will not see it at the end.
That's why I find it fairly interesting. I was commenting here when we were off air that I was on a planes yesterday, and is to watch the number of people, though, after they did some of their business scanning and jumping around, they were bringing out really thick novels or, of course, the iPads or Kindles, because I think they want to get right back in touch, though, with some deeper, richer reading.
I think so, too. And we were just talking about during the break, we're seeing the novels being advertised and brought in more to people. I think they've missed it. And so now they're advertising them on TV and radio and reminding people that that's still there.
And that's some really food for the soul. Whereas the other kind of, you know, but you know, go back to this whole statistic that if 75% of your time is spent with email, and I vouch guilty as charged. In fact, mine is probably more. But part of it, of course, is when you're working globally.
Yes.
You know, and your clients and your virtual organization is hither and non and your teams. But, you know, you can get caught up short, really, with this. I mean, how many times, both of us working inside companies, you know that these two people don't even realize their offices are right down the hall from one another.
Yeah, people
they only have a relationship over an email.
Yeah, yeah, they've forgotten that they can walk down the hall and have that personal conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of reactions do you get then during your seminars, Jane?
I think the very first one that really took me to the next level, I was working for a software company here in Tucson and had done a multi-day workshop for them. And it was the first time I had formal feedback forms. And as I was reading through them, and I was appreciating all their comments, was one that said, I thought this was going to be really boring, but it was great stuff. That really took me, fueled that passion even more.
Sure. But you know, you're right. So your seminars, I mean, to think people that, first off, I think it's pretty profound that a company's going to invest in a multi-day seminar to instruct their employees better on how to do this type of work.
Well, the majority of the time, that's their primary communication with clients and customers. And this particular company was global. And so they had to find ways to communicate with a really diverse audience.
Yeah, that's right. Well, great. I've got Linda on the line. Linda, welcome to Circles of Change. And you have a question here for our writing expert.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, I'm not trying to challenge you or anything, but I'm just quoting what I've heard from different sources about the attachment on an email. And last couple companies that I had emailed my interest in employment, instead of doing an attachment, I just went ahead and put the resume underneath the brief, I mean, very brief text, you know, cover letter. And then, because I guess some people claim that when a company opens that attachment file, that they perceive a vulnerability to viruses. So I'm hoping I'm not shooting myself in the foot and getting passed over for that.
I think it's really important in this case to look at the instructions from the company, because I get both kinds. I have companies that I communicate with that prefer, they will say, please send as an attachment. And there are those who will say, please, you know, copy and put in the body of the email. So I would really follow their guidance and double check. And if that's a question you need to ask, you can call them and ask them how they prefer that information. And people are really good about telling you and helping you out that way.
I think what's key too, Linda, and you would probably say this as well, Jane, is that when you do create attachments, though, you've got to be very deliberate on how you label that file.
Yes.
So that when they come back, it'll say, for example, linda.resume with the date.
Good point. Good point. You want them to be able to find yours very quickly. And if they can't find somebody else's, they're not going to hunt. People are too busy. So when yours is easy to find, you're going to be opened and yours going to get the attention.
That's great.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. Appreciate your calling, Linda. Great. Well, this whole idea of the classes and people gravitating and saying this was fun, I think this is a lot of unconventional wisdom here, Jane, about what you're suggesting.
You know,
things that are not so obvious that people overlook or we've gotten lazy with over the time.
Well, and I think that's been part of my learning process is the things that I took for granted that everybody knew or used, they don't. And so it was finding fun ways to deliver it, because if you talk about a business writing class, people start having haunted, you know, they're haunted by those memories of eighth grade English.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was coming up with fun ways, because when we're having fun or there's some humor, we learn it better.
That's exactly right. Well, Jane, we've got just a few minutes. I wanted to ask you how your career as a corporate CPA has prepared you now for the role as an independent business person. You're a solopreneur.
The biggest thing it did is I came with very organized skill set, focused on deadlines and focused on priorities, because I'm sure like in your corporate life, there was always too much to do and never enough time to do it.
Right.
So it's being able to bring that skill set really did help prepare me to work on my own and not get off on the wrong tangent and to keep those important tasks.
Well, I think it too, and that also then gave you the ability to say no, which is very hard to do, isn't it?
It is hard to do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different opportunities as this company grows, and I have to be able to decide which ones are the best fit that I can bring the most to and that are the mutually beneficial.
But you know, Jane, as much as you and myself as well, we're solopreneurs, we're not doing this alone, right? So you've got a team around you.
I did. I have very fortunate to build a wonderful team. I have a mastermind business group, and that's bringing together people with different, you know, solo entrepreneurs or just entrepreneurs in different fields who come together to help solve problems for each other, provide feedback, keep us accountable. And I'm finding that more and more in social media, too. We connect with new people.
And in fact, usually it's the new people that are going to say, oh, I think that's a great idea. Whereas sometimes people who know you well, they'll say, oh, now, Jane, remember when you tried that before?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so they keep you stuck in those old tapes that are in your head.
And they're also the ones that you know well are quick to say, I thought you were going to follow
exactly.
through.
You,
and
or
they
you,
keep you accountable.
Right. That's exactly right. Or they also are willing to say, you want to become something, let me support you. We talked earlier about your having this fat-free business writing tips. I like that. So tell us real quick about that before we run out of time.
It's just a real quick way. We've got to everybody has to learn to write, you know, clear and succinctly. So instead of writing something like on a daily basis, just say daily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most popular thing on Twitter. People really like getting those ideas.
So on a daily basis, say daily. You're right. Well, Jane Dominguez from The Right Business Advantage. Again, that's RITE. Thanks for joining us. Folks, you've got to look up her site. As you might imagine, she practices what she preaches. It's very simple, clean, lots of information. TheRightBusinessAdvantage.com. And Jane, you want to give out your number in case people would like to contact you about consulting and coaching opportunities?
Oh, and I enjoy talking to them. It's area code 520-668-0327.
Very good. Well, I'm going to have to step back now and re-scrutinize my documents, that's for sure, and certainly put a check case on my email. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
You bet,
me.
Jane. We'll talk to you soon. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to take just a quick bottom-of-the-hour break, and we'll come back with our special guest as well, Dr. Kathy Cram from Boston University, who actually started the Circles of Change journey with me in February of 2008. We're going to talk about peer coaching. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll be right back. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.